Hi, I'm Jason Bryan from the Shortime Wrestling Podcast and founder of the Mat Talk Podcast Network. Shows on the network are individually owned and operated, and those opinions presented and expressed may not reflect others, the sponsors, patrons, or the parent network. Find more shows about the greatest sport in the world at the Mat Talk Podcast Network at mattalkonline.com.
Welcome to On the Mat, as always, sponsored by Cliff Keen Athletic. I am Kyle Klingman, joined by Andy the Hamburglar Hamilton, and we are heading into one of my favorite events of all time. It's called the World Team Trials.
Of all time?
Yep. I'm putting it top three for sure. I love the World Team Trials process. I'm going to throw in Final X with that. Because it's a process.
Well, that's cheating.
That's fine. But I love this tournament. I love the challenge tournament. I'm kind of throwing it in with the 2017 version. I know that
the ending
wasn't the same, but that's all right.
When you take the NCAA championships, do you also consider the conference qualifiers as part of the NCAA championships?
In some ways, because that's what it takes to get there.
How about the college regular season?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, not even close. But I love this event. Let's see. We had it in Lincoln last year. And then the one I remember was when I first got hired at Track Wrestling. We went to North Carolina.
That was a fun trip.
Oh, it was a blast. We went and saw the Bull Durham. We did a little Bull Durham tour, looked around Raleigh. Got to see some of the sights, went to the restaurants, went to the actual stadium, went to a game that night. I mean, that was...
Stopped where Abe Lincoln wrestled, got eaten alive by bugs.
Oh, man. It was... That was awesome. We saw so much of North Carolina, which, by the way, is the state with the second most college Division I wrestling programs.
It is.
Pennsylvania. So
we had a great trip.
That was awesome. We saw so many different colleges and got to hit up Campbell, and we got North Carolina State, North Carolina on the way out, Appalachian State. What am I? Duke. Were those the five we hit up? I'm trying to think if I missed.
Well, we hit Ohio State and on the way out, and Indiana on the way back.
Yep. And then those five North Carolina schools.
And we were running low on gas and pulling off the ramp at Chapel Hill, and all of a sudden, like, you decide to call Coleman Scott.
Yeah.
Half hour later, we're meeting with Coleman in the North Carolina room, and about that time, we were texting John Mark Bentley and seeing if we could stop by App State. So we did, late on a Sunday night.
It was. Yeah. That was it. I mean, you saying all that, just all the memories are crystallized. Where we stopped, where we saw Coleman. I think he had this big Milwaukee Tools truck. Too. I think he was pulled up in that.
Yeah.
And he gave us a tour and was great about doing all the interviews we needed. I like Coleman Scott so much and appreciate what he's done with that program and made him relevant. So,
and all the back roads through Virginia and Western North Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky, Eastern Tennessee.
Yeah, that was so much fun. And speaking of Duke and North Carolina, I got a Casper's Kona for your ass. Today, I'm buzzing a little bit from this kombucha tea that your girlfriend was nice enough to let me use. So I apologize for that. But I'm
use or have?
Huh?
Use?
Use.
You said you're using it. Oh. You're using
see,
it or drinking
see how
it?
Buzzed I am from it? My gosh. But I don't care because I'm buzzed from this. I'm buzzed from what's going to come up in Coralville, Iowa at Extreme Arena. I'm buzzing from who our guest is going to be, Josh Schamberger of Think Iowa City. He's the man behind getting these great events to Coralville, Iowa. So we will talk with him. But Casper's Corner question, which is my Casper's Corner question, but it's an homage to him. Skill or will when it comes to wrestling? And I asked Jacob Casper his thoughts. So I just sent him a text and it said skill or will question mark. And he gave a lengthy answer saying that it was will. I said at one point in my life, I would have agreed with that, but I am going with skill.
Really?
I am going with skill. because I think it's more about habits and what you have. And the more I watch international wrestling and how you win wrestling matches, I think the skills you develop are way more important than having this hardcore drive. Because I think if you have the habits and it's what you want to do, everyone at that level is going to have a will. And hey, I may want to beat Tom Brands or John Smith or Kale Sanderson pretty bad. I may want it more than they do. I ain't touching their leg, man. So I think that the skill level you have going into a match anymore, you could have all the skill you want and you could mess up, or all the will you want, excuse me, and you get in a trapped arm gut wrench and the match is over in 30 seconds. So I just think the skills, especially in international wrestling, because that's what we're talking about going forward. I think these, talk about Greco, I think these Greco guys have a lot of will, but I think you got to have special skills in Greco to, especially to defend a gut wrench in order to win those matches. I'm going with skill. Your thoughts. This is your
will.
You're still going with will?
I am.
Why is that?
I think if you have the will, you'll develop the skill.
And that's fine. I've thought about the chicken and the egg scenario, and I appreciate that thought, but I just think that you got to have more skill in order to win anymore. And I think it's getting more and more that way all the time.
I think your skills deteriorate if you don't have the will.
Yeah, but I'm just going with everyone. When you're at that high level, you pretty much have a drive to want to be there. And I think the person with the most skill wins. And that's why I think Jordan Burroughs has won so much. I think he does have will.
He's got an incredible amount of will.
He does. But I also think that, as we've said, he is smart enough to know that he needs to continue to develop skills as he moves along. He is not resting on his laurels in any way. So the debate will rage on. So if you want to chime in on that, we'd love to hear from you. Send them to Andy if you'd like, at Andy Hamilton, or is it Andy underscore Hamilton?
Andy underscore Hamilton.
Don't send it to the world class dart pro. That would be a mistake.
No, I get some messages from European dart fans.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. So here we are. We're in a unique space for this 2022 World Team Trials, in that when we're talking about 2019, when we went, if you remember, and it takes a lot of explaining, be patient with us. If you are a returning world medalist, you get a bye to Final X. So there'll be one person that wins the World Team Trials. That one person will face, let's just say hypothetically, Jordan Burroughs, who's accepted the Final X bid. If there is not a returning world medalist, the two finalists will not wrestle in the World Team Trials Finals, and they will meet at Final X. Now, in years past, the U.S. Open winner in those weight classes was given a bye to the finals of the World Team Trials Challenge Tournament. That did not happen this year at the U.S. Open. The carrot is that you got the number one seed at the World Team Trials Challenge Tournament. This is interesting to me because you're going to see some wrestlers that probably shouldn't be seeded number one. And I don't know how that's going to affect what the outcome is. I still think the best person is going to win, but it is an interesting scenario, especially I think on the women's side, where you take a Nenea Estrella, where she won the U.S. Open at 59 kilos. She's the number one seed. She entered women's nationals in the U20, made the finals, didn't even make the world team at U20s, didn't compete in the U23s, and yet she's still going to be the top seed at the World Team Trials Challenge Tournament. So some interesting things are going to play out as you earn the number one seed at U.S. Open. But I think they had to do something to incentivize it and give you a reason to go. And that was the reason. I think this is a one-time deal. I think we're going to go back to more of a traditional formula next year, but I think that's going to add a little twist to what happens in Coralville, Iowa this weekend, Andrew.
Yeah, there's going to be some really interesting weight classes for sure.
Oh man. Is there anyone that stands out to you as the best?
Maybe 86. You know, Mark Hall, Zahid Valencia, Trent Heidley, Aaron Brooks, Miles Martin, Drew Foster.
Yeah.
be pretty good.
That should be good. And, of course, 65 kilos on the men's side will be
70.
Good. 70. Yeah. James Green has accepted a new role, so he's now with USA Wrestling. So we'll see what transpires there. But it's been such a wrestling-heavy 6 weeks here with you have the U.S. Open that just took place. We'll have the World Team Trials Challenge Tournament, and then you just go into those Final X events, one in Stillwater, one in New York City. You're going to go to both. But the more we get into this, and the more we've just kind of seen it going away from that 2017, it split off. 2018 was the first year of the Final X, and I like it. I think the when we first talked about it, I think we had to just say, hey, let's wait and see. Let's get some data behind this. But I think it's continuing to grow, and I think it's building toward something special and making it a marquee event that people can look forward to. And again, when you don't have that team element behind it, it really has to be more of a mixed martial arts style of promotion where you have headliners and you make it more of a card. And I think that's a really good formula for international wrestling, especially domestically, to make these marquee events. So I'm excited for the next 6 weeks to see all this plays out.
Yeah, same with me. And, you know, it's kind of the downside is, like, you know, there's going to be a lot of great wrestling in June, which that's both a blessing and a curse, right? Because it's all lumped together there. We've got, you know, U20, U23 trials.
Yep.
Final X Stillwater.
Yep. Same weekend.
16 U duels.
Yeah.
Final X New York. Junior duels. Like, it's all kind of crammed in those first, like, two and a half, three weeks of June. So it's kind of hard to be in two places at once.
Yeah. Yeah. No one's
you
done
know,
it.
So we're not going to be able to get to all those things, but
yeah.
Hell, should be fun nonetheless. I mean, you know, we had such a good time last year going on the road trip from 16U duels down to junior duels and hitting what did we hit? Three Division One programs?
We did.
On the way?
Yeah, we did. We hit three D1 programs.
So that was a lot of fun too.
So you just take us through, and I think we both can do this because I think this is kind of a litmus test, but I keep learning more and more about how wrestling operates all the time. And I have to admit, when I was at the Gable Museum, I had my lane and my focus on different things. And there could be these events going on. I really kind of knew about them, but I didn't really know what they meant. And so where along the line did you feel like, hey, I have a grasp of the landscape and the U17 or the cadet world team trials? This is when this is, and this is a big tournament. And for me, it's only happened recently. I still didn't quite understand it, what was going on sometimes when I first got on track. And then you just start slowly. It's like, all right, I see what's going on here and I'm building into it. But where along the line did you feel like I understand the landscape of what's going on in the sport with the event side?
Definitely before 2005, when I was at the Press Citizen and Iowa took that team down to Oklahoma City, I think it was then, where junior duels were at the time, and they won the team title. I was plugged in at that point. So probably a couple, 3 years before that, starting to pay attention to what was going on.
How do we get more people to get plugged into that? And that's just been the kind of one of the themes through this show, is just how you get more people checked in to that level. Because again, when you watch it, man, the U17 World Team Trials was fantastic.
Absolutely.
I mean, just and again, just just having a litmus test. Pete Isaias, who runs the events, he watches no wrestling. And when he pauses, I think it was the 92 kilogram finals in the U17s. I think it went three.
Yeah.
Go three.
Yep.
he stopped because when you're running events, and I get this, you can't watch wrestling because you're focused on everything happening. He stopped on that third match and watched and was like, wow, that was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wish more people would be checked in on that, because that product and what was transpired on the mat across the board, that was just some of the best wrestling from an entertainment point of view that I've seen. I mean, it just was a quality product where you just like, I can't keep my eyes off this. And I don't have the scores in front of me, but I think they were like a 12-12 variety where it was just tooth and nail. If you had that kind of product to showcase to the masses, I think people would be completely hooked.
12-12, 5-3, 15-14.
My gosh, that is what wrestling's all about. Offensive output, that was fantastic. And it really did leave people wanting more.
Yeah.
I think it was the last match, wasn't it? Wasn't the very last match of the tournament?
Yeah. 15-14, Max McAnally over Camden McDaniel. Tremendous series. Like, yeah, one of the best that I've seen in a best of three. And it just, McAnally just kept shooting and shooting and shooting. Even when he had a lead, and it kind of got him in trouble a couple times, but he was able to,
yeah,
you know, he was a lot of fun to watch. And that was the real highlight for me of Vegas, is being plugged in on the U17 from start to finish. And there are just so many tremendous matches. You know, even Saturday morning, you know, we're watching a match. I'm watching a match Saturday morning that was 9-0 out of the gate, and another guy reels off 20 in a row, win 20-9. And these are 4-minute matches. That's, yeah, happening in a 4-minute match.
Yeah, so, good point. Yeah, that's a 4-minute match for those. Unbelievable. Yeah, it was an incredible event. And hey, let's give props to Luke Lilladahl here. I mean,
oh, he looked great. Yeah.
Yeah, beats Bo Bassett and I think, what, he tech him both matches?
No, 6-1 in the first one, but okay, but 55-5 for his run through the tournament.
Man.
Yeah, he looked tremendous the whole tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, returning silver medalist from U17s last year. So, man, that was the match everyone wanted to see, and he won it.
Yeah, I mean, just up and down the finals were, I thought, tremendous from 45 kilos all the way up to 110. I thought, like, just some really highly competitive matches, and, you know, even some of the matches that, you know, wound up 2-0 in the series were, you know, really competitive bouts. And so then, you know, also, like, what we had, 55 kilos, Jax Forrest, eighth grader, taking out Nate Jezeroga in three matches, and the third, decisive third match comes down to a challenge on a position where Jezeroga's down on criteria, gets to a single leg with 15 seconds to go. He's got it up in the air. Looks like he's going to run him out of bounds. Tries to finish the takedown. You know, one official calls it four. Goes to video. You know, four for Jezeroga. It, you know, the other two rule no points.
Yeah.
Goes to video review, and it's still kind of like, you know, there's a sequence at the end where it looks like Jezeroga might have exposed him even at the end. And, you know, tough situation for the officials. But from an entertainment standpoint, just amazing finals there. That one, 65 kilos with Tyler Kasak and Joel Adams, goes to three matches that were really entertaining. And then, of course, 92 was an incredible series. And then, you know, even some others that were, like I said, that were 2-0, there was a lot of action in at 71 with Joe Seeley. Always is when he's on the mat. And then Zach Ryder, terrific tournament at 80 kilos, beating some really highly credentialed guys along the way, beating Gabe Arnold, beating Aiden Sinclair, taking out Connor Marisola in the finals. So I think, like, it's a really exciting young group that is going to be heading to Rome.
And I want to continue to say this. If I haven't said it before, I will say it again. Just being at Women's Nationals where you had the U-17s, U-20s, U-23s, and then being there in Vegas. I'm going to be at the U-20 and U-23 World Team Trials in Geneva as Final X is going on in, I think it's May 8th. But to make a world team at any level is so insanely hard just because of what you broke down there with the competitiveness, the high caliber of wrestlers when you get the best of the best and they're all going for it. If you, I don't care if you medal or you don't medal, if you make a world team, it is an impressive accomplishment on your resume. It's so mind-boggling hard to do it, to come through all of what you're just talking about. And I saw it with the Women's Nationals where you have Audrey Jimenez, who entered the U-20 and U-17. She enters the U-20 at 50 kilograms, has to weigh a kilo lower because she's entered in the U-17s, wins the best of three against Sage Mortimer, who placed third for King University at Collegiate Nationals, gets off the mat and then runs over to a cadet mat or U-17 mat at a kilo lower so she can start her tournament in that. I mean, it's just insane. And she made both teams. It's just the level these girls are getting right now and how good they're getting in high school. I mean, we really are on the upswing. These girls are getting good and they're getting quality training. And pay attention because this is a fun era of the sport for a variety of reasons. But the women coming into the fold is a big part of it.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, it just gets better and better, right? Like,
it does.
You know, you watch the young girls and they're more skilled like all the time.
Audrey Jimenez is a sophomore in high school. She's a sophomore beating a soon to be sophomore in college. And Sage Mortimer, I think, beat her the year before at a Flow Wrestling event 8-5. But it just shows you how good they're getting. And man, it's just fun to see. So any final thoughts? I have one final thought on the World Team Trials before we get to Josh Schamberger and hearing from Cliff Keen Athletic. But floor is yours if you have any final thoughts going into this important weekend for international wrestling.
My final thought is I'm really intrigued to hear what your final thought is.
Well, my final thought is Scott Beck, who we've mentioned on this program numerous times. He has a daughter, Michaela Beck, wrestling at 59 kilograms. I'm excited to watch Scott Beck watch wrestling. And I hope if you are on point with the camera that you will capture Scott Beck in the stands watching wrestling. That would really make me happy. Can I count on you for that?
I will do my best.
You're bringing the camera down, aren't you?
Planning to.
Okay. If not, I'm going to have to take out my cell phone and try to get some candid shots of Scott being nervous in the stands.
Okay.
So can't wait. We'll hear from Cliff Keen Athletic, and then we'll be back with Josh Schamberger of Think Iowa City.
This spring, get into freestyle, Greco, and club wrestling seasons with some new singlets from Cliff Keen. Cliff Keen has everything you need to hit the mats, from singlets, headgear, and warm-ups, to knee pads and workout gear. Cliff Keen is the dependable brand to see you through. And don't forget, on-the-mat subscribers can save big at CliffKeen.com. Go to CliffKeen.com and use the coupon code ONTHEMAT, one word, at checkout, and take 20% off your order. Yep, coupon code on the mat gets you 20% off, and there is no deadline to order for On the Mat listeners. Just go to www.cliffkeen.com and click Shop Wrestling.
If you have followed wrestling and you've seen great events coming to Coralville, Iowa, we have the man behind that. It is Josh Schamberger. He is the president of Iowa City Coralville Convention and Visitors Bureau. Josh, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. And I'll tell you what, we're excited about the World Team Trials. We're excited about the World Cup men and women. It's not going to just be one this time. We get that in December. But let's just talk how we're getting these great events at Coralville, Iowa. There used to be this truck stop at the edge of Interstate 80 and your exit, I think it's 242 maybe. How did we get this where we get this great extreme arena with all these hotels around? It's like a little village there, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's been something that's been in the plan for the city of Coralville, their master plan, since like the late 80s and early 90s. And when I got here in 2001, which has been a while now, I was made aware of the plan. At that point, it looked, you know, like it did how you referenced a truck stop and some old dilapidated buildings. And the city wanted to move forward and kind of redevelop that entire area, which is known as the Iowa River Landing. So plans got underway, and I got pretty intimately involved in all of that development. And we kicked things off in 2006 with the build out of that Coralville Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. And here we are 15, 16 years later, and a couple years into a brand new arena that I sit on the board and kind of help lead. And things have been going well. Obviously, it doesn't hurt with a guy like me who really absolutely loves the sport of wrestling. And so in building the arena, you can believe I made sure everybody at every part was thinking about how this was going to look and feel and flow for wrestling. Probably more than any other sport, but the other sports are just as important.
What visions did you have for wrestling when you thought about this? Did you think about World Cup? Did you think about World Team Trials? Did you think about some of these other events when you were building this product?
Yeah, you know, first I thought of wrestling freestyle and Greco season all the time, because this community has never been able to really go after that for those particular events. I mean, we're fortunate enough that we worked really hard, Coach DeRoe and Brands and Gable and everybody, when we went out in 2009 or 10 and made a successful pitch to get the 2012 Olympic trials. But outside of that, Carver Hawkeye Arena, legendary as it is not air conditioned. So from now, late April through September, October, it's pretty much useless for events and activities. And so I definitely wanted to have this facility be state of the art and be designed with the wrestling, the athletes first and foremost, and you know, start to take advantage of some opportunities. And we've been able to do that. I have a really good team. You know, you introduced me as the man behind Coralville. I'm just one of them, quite honestly. So there's a whole crew here that just loves its wrestling and is anxious to get after it as I am.
Let's just take an event. Let's take the World Cup, where there's men and women coming for that for the first time ever, combined World Cup. How do you go about getting that event to Coralville, Iowa?
Well, we started, you know, obviously when we got the World Cup in 2018, and we were able to get that here in the U.S. and the Men's Freestyle World Cup, and that was just fantastic. Had a pretty good crowd for the first of its kind event. I think we were just short of 7,000 for that one. That happened in April of 2018. But I thought there was a lot left on the table. Quite honestly, the product wasn't as strong as I think it could be, and a lot of that had to do with Russia and Iran backing out because of different reasons. Iran was a little bit more understandable because of the state of their federation at the time and changes that were happening. Russia's was not as understandable. They just were very late in going to the embassy. And so those two teams backed out. And so obviously the product wasn't as what the fans kind of wanted to see, you know, the Yazdani Taylor matches and things like that. So, but it was good. And so I had some ideas and about a year and a half later, I took Luke Eustace, who works for me, and we were headed over to meet with UCI, the governing body for the sport of cycling, because we host some international cycling events here. And we were headed over to Switzerland to attend an annual meeting there. And one train stop away from the governing body of the sport of cycling is UWW in Vevey. So we made a big pitch and went and met with John Danielle and Gordon and the whole team there and asked him to consider doing the men's and women's freestyle together. You know, the sport deserves it. The women deserve it. And same spotlight. And the U.S. has never hosted the women's version. And so we told them, we'll step up and host it for the first couple of years if they'll invest into it with us. And, you know, couldn't be more excited. Obviously COVID hit, but then we hit them again pretty hard, in Oslo, and, President Lalabic and the whole team, agreed and allowed us the opportunity that we have this December.
I got to think that's going to sell out. If you had 7,000 for the 2018 World Cup, I got to think it's going to be close to a sellout now, or we'll get to that point, won't we?
Oh, it'll 100% sell out, because I only got 5,500 seats in the building. And so we're not worried about the sellout. We're not doing it in Carver. We're doing it in the new arena. You know, is there room for a larger crowd? Certainly. But I want to create just an absolutely electric environment in there. And, you know, if Ron's able to make it, we're going to allow all the Vuvuzelas those fans want to bring and have it be at that whole international feel. And that new arena is just electric when it's rocking, and with the ribbon boards and the LED screens and the sport lighting. So it will be an atmosphere that is worthy of the sport and the participants.
Give us your take on why the University of Iowa, Iowa City, that area is so wrestling crazy.
Yeah, you know, we've been criticized a little bit here for having events and doing events, which I think is a little absurd, quite honestly. The fact of the matter is, you know, there's not a lot of communities in this country that can do these events. This World Cup in December is going to run about $700,000 to do. There's not a lot of places in the United States that can run an event like that and have it come off at the first class nature that it deserves. You know, there's certainly a couple billionaires associated with wrestling that I think everybody knows who they are, and they can write a check from time to time and subsidize events and make these things work. But here we don't need that, because we have the Iowa wrestling fan base. And obviously we're surrounded by some other incredible Big Ten wrestling fan bases within close driving distance. And that's what makes this performer works. And that's what makes events here cash flow. And on top of that, you've got an LOC, a local organizing committee, and our office underneath my office, called the Iowa City Sports Commission, a little different division, but underneath our organization. And you've got, you know, a community that just relishes every opportunity they get to come here, to volunteer, to support, and witness firsthand great wrestling. And, you know, if we're to be criticized for that, I think it's just completely ridiculous. We step up time and time again and try and do this thing first class every time. And I'm proud of Luke and Kylie and Nathan and everybody associated, the boys from Indy who come down and do the call to mat for us in the tunnel all the time. Just good people.
You know, you're talking about the criticism, and this week Reese Humphrey tweeted out, can someone explain to me why we have so many wrestling events in Iowa? It's so expensive to get there, and there really isn't much to do in Coralville. It seems like an inconvenience to most of the clubs around the country. I vote NYC, St. Louis, and Vegas for everything. Josh, what was your reaction when you heard that or saw it for the first time?
Somebody brought it to my attention, and my immediate response was to reply, but whatever. I mean, I just think it's ignorance. You can have events in New York City and Vegas all day long, and, you know, there's great wrestling fans in those communities. And there's people that may underwrite the losses of those events because they don't sell tickets, right? And they're communities that have a lot of other things top of mind. So I just think that's a ridiculous statement. Every time I think Reese and those others that might be critical that have come here, I think they've had a first-class tournament that they've wrestled in. And as it relates for there's nothing to do, you know, I'm not really sure what he's looking for or others might be looking for in the community, but there's a lot to do in Coralville and Iowa City. Obviously, we don't have a million casinos up and down the strip like you would in Vegas. But if you're coming here, I think you're coming here for wrestling, and the wrestling is going to be the best, and the environment's going to be great and electric. And there's plenty of great places to eat and shop and dine and enjoy yourself. So if he or anybody else wants to send me a list of things that they need to do, I've got a full team here that'll put together a top 10 things to do when you're not in the arena wrestling.
What's been the turnout so far, ticket sales going into the World Team Trials? Do you have a pulse on what that will look like?
I should have been prepared for that question. I have no idea.
Really?
I've been so focused on this other event we just announced a couple of days ago. And, you know, that event isn't ours like World Cup or some of these other ones. That event is USA Wrestling's. And Luke and I and Luke's team step up and help, you know, as much as we can with whatever Pete and the team need. But I'll have to check on that. You got me caught off guard. I would expect, you know, no less than what some of these other events are. You know, there'll be a couple thousand people. I mean, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, we've actually never really done a World Team Trials here. We've done senior U.S. Open many times. Olympic trials, obviously, we had over 15,000 at those. I think just my guess is World Team Trials, with the way Final X works, you know, it's obviously a little bit different than at the end of the night, on the final night, you're taking a picture of the team that's going to represent our nation. Here you're taking a picture of some semifinalists, which is great. It's going to be phenomenal wrestling, and that's what you want first.
You alluded to the other event. You just made the announcement this week, the Soldier Salute, December 29th and 30th at Extreme Arena in Coralville. Another event, another holiday event added to the college wrestling schedule. You guys tried to take a swing at this on short notice last year after the cancellation of the Midlands. Weren't able to quite put it together, but, you know, given the chance to plan it months in advance, what is it? Tell us more about that event and what's going to be unique about that event.
Yeah, well, a couple things on that. You know, Midlands canceled last year, and we got called, Luke and I, but got called by four different coaches who asked us, knowing the events we've put on and knowing our relationship to this new arena that was opened here a couple years ago, you know, asked us to see if we can pull it off and salvage this sort of tournament for that year. And so we got to work. We had about 7.5 days notice from the call and to pulling it off. We spent probably 2 days with a couple hours of sleep each night to put together the entire plan and how we're going to pay for it and all that sort of thing. Logistically got it all done. Didn't have a name or anything, so just called it the Hawkeye Open. You know, a lot of people didn't want us to call it the Hawkeye Open because it, you know, they don't want to support the Hawks. I get it. But I was just thinking, oh, there's the Luther Open. There's all these opens. It's here. But anyway, we got it all pulled together. And then obviously Willie and Izzy and the guys over there were able to figure it all out and get it salvaged and pull off, the Matman Open, you know, version of Midlands. And so we didn't end up with a strong enough field. You know, we had several schools and we had individuals that were going to come here, but we didn't want anybody to come here and get one or two matches and head home. That's not what it's about. So, you know, we said, well, we're going to keep moving forward and maybe create an opportunity for next year. And something I've always wanted to do, Tom, I've been talking to Tom and Terry and Luke when he was at Iowa for a long time, is Iowa has always historically opened up their season with the Iowa City Duels, and it's usually that Friday of Veterans Day week. And I'm a huge military brat. I grew up, my first 18, 19 years of my life were our military bases, Puerto Rico and Cuba and San Diego, and my dad was a Blue Angel, so Pensacola for a little bit. And I've always said, hey, let's do that Iowa City Duels, Tom, and invite the military academies and really make it a killer tribute to the veterans right after Veterans Day and that week. And he's always been really intrigued and wanted to do that. And we just have never figured it out. And so I just saw this as an opportunity to maybe do that. And got on the phone with Coach Ward pretty quickly and Coach Barber and Gibson and some of the others. And kind of just summarize my background and why I wanted to do this and would they be open to giving it a try? I know everybody's kind of, you know, change is hard sometimes for a lot of programs and things. And they were like completely supportive of it. They used to have an all academy tournament and that kind of fell apart a few years ago because some of the D1 schools were struggling to get all their matches in and the D3 matches didn't count. So this just created an opportunity and we're really excited about it. And it means a lot to me personally. It means a lot to Nathan Eichhorst, our co-director, who's an Air Force retired medic, former NCAA official that helps us with all our tournaments. So December 29th and 30th, we're going to run the first soldier salute. And, you know, we're going to get enough sponsors and I'm going to find enough people that will invest in this to where everything's paid for and every single dollar we make on ticket sales, you know, over the cost of the venue and those things, we're going to split down the middle and half of it's going to go to the USO and the other half is going to go to a fund that continues the advancement and growth of girls wrestling across the country. We'll have a men's and women's division and that fund will be directed and those dollars will be determined by the participating coaches of the women's programs that are here. So super exciting. And I think it'll work really well. We've had tremendous response since we finally made it public.
Let's talk about women's wrestling. Sanctioned girls high school and wrestling for Iowa. Finally, do you foresee that the state championships will be at Extreme Arena in the foreseeable future? Because you've had the Iowa Wrestling Coaches Association tournament at Extreme Arena. Will it be there when it's sanctioned?
Yeah, that announcement was made a couple weeks ago. It was a little quiet, but we will be the home of the Iowa Girls State Tournament for the next, at least at minimum, 3 years. Or if we do our jobs right, hopefully it will never leave this community if we continue to exceed expectations. And so it will be here February 2nd and 3rd next year. It's going to be a Thursday, Friday tournament. Couldn't be more excited. Obviously, Kyle, you've been a huge part of this for a long time, and we're proud to kind of recognize and honor you for everything you've done for girls wrestling in the state of Iowa. And, you know, there's a lot of people to thank here. And we're just honored to have stepped up and played a role to kind of host the tournament the last couple of years. And we've personally kind of financed 3 area high school programs and clubs programs. And it's great that now it's sanctioned and they're off and running. And the programs we've given some money to kickstart for coaches or singlets or things like that, they got a little bit of a head start. So hopefully that momentum keeps going forward. But we're very excited about girls wrestling being sanctioned in the state.
How'd you make that transition? Because it was at Waverly High School and then it moved on there for a couple of years. How did you make that pitch to get it down to Coralville?
Well, really it was not too hard because we visited with those guys and we knew that they were trying something new and being innovative. Eric and that whole team up there, and they ran out of room. I mean, really. And so I just said, hey, we've got the same goals here. And, you know, we've been a tireless champion of the women's national team and stepped up and host them, took care of a lot of costs to host them for national team camps over the past decade. Obviously very close to Coach Steiner and former Coach Chun, now Iowa Coach Chun. And so, you know, we said, we're going to provide the venue and we're going to take care of it and let's blow the doors off it. And so we did and worked with Eric and Waverly, and they truly are the pioneers and deserve all the credit for kickstarting this. And obviously they were champs again. I just went up to their banquet a couple weeks ago and kind of snuck in the back door and honored him and that whole coaching staff for what they've done for girls wrestling in this state. And I'm sure they'll continue to be dominant for years to come because they really set the bar in many ways.
Well, it's a great tournament too. Exciting, great product. And I always like to think back to one of my favorite moments was when Andy's girlfriend's daughter went to it and Andy went up to the tournament in Waverly and he told me how he's going to be cool, calm and collected. And then he was a nervous wreck once he got there because he was following it and getting into it. So one of my favorite moments that I still cherish.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it was a lot of fun, and it was a special night when, you know, the story got leaked a little bit ahead of time, and that's unfortunate. Our intention was, you know, that vote had happened a week and a half before that tournament. And we made a point to try to keep the lid on that, because who's it for? Right. I mean, it's, somebody can be out front and write a story and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, it's for all the girls and families that were in the arena at that moment before the finals, right after the Parade of Champions. And it still worked, I think. And that's something I'll definitely remember for a long time for my nieces. And, you know, I'm hoping they take up this sport, and I see them coming out of one of those tunnels in another 10 or 15 years.
Let's go to the Iowa women's program, which will start in not this upcoming season, but the following season. So the 2023-2024 season. I guess in my head, Josh, I was assuming that the duels will be at Extreme Arena. Do you have any insight on where those duels will be held?
They will be at Carver Hawkeye Arena.
They will. Okay.
Yeah, Clarissa's team will be wrestling at Carver, not at Extreme Arena. There'll definitely be probably some opportunities to where we may have opens, or they may have, you know, a four team round robin type thing that maybe the arena works well, but that'll be up to Coach John. But they're fully planning on having that program take place in Carver, and that's where it should.
That's great.
You know, as they develop a new facility as well.
Fantastic. Now, is volleyball at Extreme Arena? Is that what they do? Are there some college events that happen there?
Yeah. So the volleyball team at Iowa calls Extreme Arena home, and they're in their third year there. They obviously just got a brand new coach. He's fantastic. He's really kind of refreshed the entire team and program there. And so they'll be entering their third season at Extreme. And but Coach Chan is very much going to be all those hammers she's been signing are going to be coming out of the same tunnel as all those that have wrestled at Iowa have.
What's the buzz for the women's program? I mean, just being there and hearing about it, what's the flavor for women's wrestling getting added at Iowa?
I think it's very high energy. Coach Chan was just in here about 20 minutes ago, just popping in to say hey, and she got a couple questions about a few things, but there's a lot of energy and momentum and excitement around this community for what she's already building. And I know she's going to be announcing her first assistant coach. I think it's actually today, sometime today is what I heard, but maybe that got delayed. And then she's got her second assistant that'll probably be announced in another month or two. And, you know, every day it just seems like there's more enthusiasm and excitement for what she's building here. And, you know, this year with the Soldier Salute, her team will be there. They'll all be wrestling unattached, but I think there's a lot of folks, Iowa fans that are really excited to see, you know, the likes of Kyrie Walker and Nene and our own Bettendorf, hammer that got recruited to the team, Ella.
Oh, Ella Schmidt.
Yep.
How about your dream? I mean, are there other events that you'd like to see happen there? Because my dream would be to see an age level world championship at Extreme Arena. How realistic is that?
Well, there's one thing I have on my checkbox that's sitting here in a little yellow piece of yellow paper that's above my desk on the credenza, and I want to get Junior Worlds here. I think that this is the perfect community for Junior Worlds. It wouldn't be at Extreme. It'd be at Carver Hawkeye Arena. But I know that we could have 15,000-16,000 crazy loud fans in there. That would be all for Team USA and you know, just supportive of that high level of wrestling. And, you know, I think you look back at the World Cup, you know, you would have thought Dake and Taylor and some of those guys wrestled here at Iowa the way that they were being supported by the fans. And that's what you'll see at Junior Worlds. I don't think we'll ever get Senior Worlds just because the bid fees and the things associated with that are kind of astronomical, but I think Junior Worlds is in play, and that'd be the one last thing I'd like to get before I move on and do something different.
And then how about the Grand Gable? It's not wrestling, but it is a biking event. You love biking, and of course Gable is synonymous with wrestling. How did you come up with that idea?
You know, that's just kind of a goofy little thing to where I'm a big cyclist, and Dan knows that. I stop by his house all the time because he's right on one of the loops I take, and he's always shaking his head at me and asking how many miles I got in on the day. But he really loved that idea, and I said, Dan, I'm going to put together a bike ride. This is many, many years ago. It's going to be a 100-mile ride, and I'm going to make it the hardest 100 miles I can in our area. And because it's the hardest 100, you know, I want people to feel like they earned it. And so I want to name it after you. And he thought it was cool because Dan's always looking to promote the sport. And he's like, you know, it'll get like people that are really into cycling and the mental toughness it takes to get through 100 miles. And maybe they'll become wrestling fans and then they'll help us with wrestling. So that's just where his mind was. And, you know, we had a really good run with it 5-6 years, about 1,000 cyclists a year. And it just got so labor intensive that I told Coach that I can't do it every single year. And so we've agreed, and he's allowed me to do it every Olympic year. So we couldn't do it in 20. So we did it last year as a makeup, and we'll do it again in 24. But it's a lot of fun. And I think cycling is the perfect retirement sport for a wrestler. You know, they go to dark, dark places and compartmentalize pain. And sometimes when you're on a serious bike ride, that's pretty heavy endurance with a lot of hills and climbing and heat, you got to go to dark places to carry through. And that's nothing for a wrestler.
Josh, I think your story is pretty interesting in that you grow up. You mentioned you moved around growing up, and then you went to high school at one of the nation's high school wrestling powerhouses, Poway, out in San Diego. But you weren't involved in wrestling at that point. You were going to the beach every day and surfing after school. How'd you get involved with wrestling? How'd you get hooked on it?
I didn't. I mean, I knew of Poway wrestling when I was there, but I was into surfing and other stuff. And when I moved back here, my parents moved back here because my dad retired from the Navy, and they had originally grown up in the Cedar Rapids area. And then a few years later, I kind of moved back to help support some family stuff, and just got introduced to wrestling in Iowa. And then my cousins, it's kind of a weird deal, but all my cousins, my first cousins, are half brothers and sisters with McDonough. So I know Matt's mom used to be my aunt. And so there's an interesting sort of family connection there. And so I always followed Matt growing up and kind of checking in on him. And obviously when he came to Iowa, he was pretty good. And so, just because of the nature of my job, I got here in 2001, the beginning of 2001. You know, okay, well, my job is to create events and economic activity for this community. Well, what are we known for all over the world? You know, as this community, we're known for writing. I mean, we're the birthplace of creative writing in the United States, but we're also known all over the world for wrestling. And so it was pretty easy to make the connection that, hey, we need to do more with wrestling, because that's what we have we can deliver the promise kind of behind that brand. So, you know, I got way into it and became very close with obviously Coach Gable and then everybody around the program. And then when Tom and Terry came back, we got real aggressive with Coach Durow, who was a huge mentor and partner to me and everything wrestling. And we've had some success, right? It's been fun, and this community supports it. That's why we keep getting blessed with opportunities for events.
You mentioned that Iowa City is known for writing and wrestling. Andy Hamilton is known for writing and wrestling. What writer would you like to see Andy Hamilton wrestle if you had an exhibition at Extreme Arena?
Oh, let's see, a writer.
Yeah, it has to be.
I'm trying to think somebody in your weight class.
Mike Finn's a little.
I bet you could probably take Cody, just because I think you're probably tougher than Cody. I don't know if I'd put you up against KJ
Pilcher.
Yeah,
a little. I don't know, the realm of weight class. How about Jason Bryant?
Jason Bryant, that's a really good one. I've been helping him a lot the past couple months because he's got a new opportunity coming that is going to be a monster. I don't know.
I want that match. Yeah, don't give that to Andy. If that ever happens, I've wanted that for years.
Kyle's been calling him out.
Yeah, and he has his reasons, and I understand. Not really, but I'll have to accept it. But if that happens, leave it for me and then give Andy another one. But that's the one I want.
Well, whenever you're ready for it, you know, Gable's son-in-law, Danny Olsta, who's crazy, who played football at Iowa. You know, he's totally nuts and he's always looking for an exhibition match. So if you want to maybe World Team Trials or World Cup, if you want to lace him up, we'll get Olsta, or I bet Eustace would even go a little bit with you.
Oh, he'd smoke either of us. Like, you're talking about a NCAA finalist there. I mean, that guy's good. And he was so good.
He's pretty out of shape and old now.
Well, still, he's got the skills. But one of my favorite moments, we're talking about Grand Gable, we're talking about Gable and writing and wrestling, is that Gable had broken his leg. And I would always just ask him, hey, do you think I could take you in wrestling? And he'd always say, come on, guy, you know, one of those things. And he was so wrecked. I said, Dan, do you finally admit I could beat you in wrestling right now? He could barely move. And he admitted, he goes, yes, you could take me right now. So one of my proud moments when he was nearly on his deathbed that he said I could finally take him. So I appreciate,
you know, I got one of those too. When we did 2010 trials and we won the bid, you know, I started working with Eustace a little bit more because he was director of ops and we had a lot of logistics stuff to figure out and we didn't really know each other. And I didn't know he played golf, and I played golf in high school and was pretty good golfer in San Diego. So he was talking smack one day and I'm like, let's just go play golf and we'll have a bet. If you lose, you have to go on a bike ride with me for 100 miles. He had never ridden a bike at that point.
Is Eustace, right?
This is Luke Eustace. Okay. And then he said, what if you lose? And I said, I don't know. And he goes, if I win, you got to go 7 minutes with me on the mat. And I said, all right, bet. I said, deal. So we picked a date and we went to Brown Deer Golf Course, and it was the worst weather date in the history of probably that year. But both of us were so stubborn. We're like, if you no-show, it's a forfeit. If you no-show, it's a forfeit. We're the only two out there. Sean McCarty is the pro there, and him and Chad were in a covered golf cart laughing at us. I shot 76 from the tips that day, and in the rain, it was crappy. And Luke Eustace shot 74.
Oh.
And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Who the heck is this guy? I'm like, what is going on here? And the press, I don't know if you remember, Andy, if you were at the Press Citizen time, but they somehow found out about it and they took pictures of me. And it was the most embarrassing, painful moment of my life in the wrestling room with Tom ref officiating and Luke just, I mean, I hurt for 2 months. It was a horrible, horrible experience.
And that was your very first wrestling experience.
Yeah. I had to go in the room and I forget whose shoe, it might've been St. John's or somebody had left their shoes in there. So I put on their shoes. And at one point, Tom or somebody let me start on top and I outweighed Luke by like 40 pounds. So I did get him down on the mat for maybe about 15 or 20 seconds because I weighed so much, but he got out and then he probably tech falled me two or three times in the first minute if we were keeping score.
That's great.
Well, Josh alluded to this just a little bit ago that the news would come out, and it just popped over on my email. Clarissa Chun's associate head coach, Gary Mayab,
oh, wow,
joining the staff. So quite a hire there, huh?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Experienced guy who's been around programs, who really can help. I mean, Clarissa probably speak all this stuff, but you know, it's a good compliment, you know, for the two of them. And you know, I'm also selfishly like excited because guess who's now my permanent voice of wrestling? Dort is going to be at every one of our events, which is like awesome. So yeah, I'm excited for her and had heard she was considering him and kind of heard that through the grapevine. And that's the first one. I know there's another one in play that she'll announce shortly, but
nice. Yeah.
Coach Mayab's pretty good tenured guy, huh?
Yeah, he is. That's a good hire. Didn't see it coming. I'll admit that. I did not think that would be the hire, but kudos for a great pick there. I love Gary.
Yeah, anxious for them to get to the community. And I think Dort's going to be here next weekend when we host World Team Trials. So maybe she'll just end up staying.
Well, we want you to stay in Iowa City, Coralville. You said your three words for the community: warm, cultured, curious. I hope you keep those as you move on to more wrestling events. And let's make sure we get Junior Worlds to Carver.
That's my goal. I appreciate all you guys do. I mean, you really make are a big part of it. There's no doubt. I kind of tell Andy all the time that I think he's the king of wrestling media, and I really do mean that.
Oh, he knows it.
He's been here a long time.
He's got a crown over here.
Yeah, well, he deserves it.
He does, no doubt about it. He does deserve it. And when you're ready to have that King's wrestling match, you let me know, and we'll get Andy ready, and we'll get him in shape.
Yeah, good luck.
All right. Hey, thanks for being on the program. Can't wait for the World Team Trials coming up in Coralville, Iowa, and we will see you down there.
All right. Thank you both.
All right.
See you then.
Thanks, Josh.
Spring brings new life, and the sport of wrestling is no exception. This spring, get into the club, freestyle, and even folkstyle seasons with some fresh new training and lifestyle gear from Cliff Keen. Cliff Keen's joggers are buttery soft and fit just so right, and their collab with Dry Release offers industry-best training shirts and shorts that bring you comfort and performance in the gym, on the mats, or simply hanging out with your friends. On the mat listeners can save big at CliffKeen.com too. Go to CliffKeen.com and use coupon code ONTHEMAT, one word, at checkout. And take 20% off your order. Yep, coupon code ONTHEMAT gets you 20% off. Go to www.cliffkeen.com and click Shop Wrestling.
Josh Hamburger, think Iowa City, a.k.a. Iowa City, Coralville Convention and Visitors Bureau. I want the Junior Worlds to happen. I've always wanted to see an age-level world championship there. 15,000 at Carver for a Junior World Championship, if that could happen, I think that would just change the direction of international wrestling in that level. You've been to them. There isn't anything close to that.
No.
Maybe 1,000? And that might like be generous?
Basically, everyone I've gone to has just been athletes and families.
Yeah.
And fellow coaches, you know, that's been about it.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty sparse crowd. I think Slovakia, there might have been some locals that showed up. Not very many, though. Same with Estonia. Where else did I go for Finland? Finland showed up for Greco. There were a bunch of people that showed up for the 2 days of Greco, 2.5 days of Greco. They showed up and with drums and horns, and they were into it. But otherwise it's been pretty sparse crowds.
I just think if UWW saw that and saw a big crowd like that, I think it would change their minds to the point where it's like, hey, what'd they figure out that we did in other places? And I think Josh and company could make that happen. 15,000, I mean, that's a good stretch goal. That's
yeah.
Filling the entire arena, but kudos for having that vision and thinking about that. I'd love to see that happen with, boy, it'd be fun to get an Iowa kid on the Junior World team and have even more support that way. But you got to earn that spot. Hey, this has been a lot of fun. I know we got World Team Trials coming up. We're both excited about the event. We both love it. For Josh Schomburger, Andy Hamilton, I'm Kyle Klingman. You have been listening to On the Mat.